In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today we look at our salvation. We look at the passion of Jesus Christ. Without the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be going to hell. So we look at what Jesus did on the cross so that we, you and I, would be with him in heaven. I start with the 22nd chapter, the 47th verse. While Jesus was still speaking on the Mount of Olives, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. This is Judas, who saw the multiplication of bread, who saw Lazarus rise from the dead, who saw blind Bartimaeus be healed. He came to put Jesus in jail. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with the kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this, no violence." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs, as it were, for a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Oh, the power of darkness is going to be broken by the blood of Jesus. Chapter 22:54. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Oh, I wonder how many times we deny Jesus. How many times, because we're embarrassed, that we deny Jesus. Oh, God, deliver us. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else then seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man is also with Jesus, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do we remember what happened in John's Gospel, the 21st chapter? "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Peter, do you love me?" The threefold denial was made up by the threefold acceptance. "Do you love me, Peter? You know everything, Lord. You know that I love you." Now the men were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it who struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." Son of Man talks about a deity. If you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there was this one like a Son of Man. It's the deity, it's God. All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it for ourselves from his own lips." Chapter 23. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes." All lies. All lies. "Taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up people by teaching throughout all Judea and all of Galilee, where he began even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem. Herod always wanted to meet Jesus, wanted to have him do a miracle before him. Herod was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. Why? Because he's absorbing the sin of the world. "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." It started in the garden. It's in Herod's room. He's drawing people to himself. The chief priests and the scribes stood up, vehemently accusing Jesus. Even Herod with the soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other, because before this, they had been enemies. So Jesus, his crucifixion, allows these two sinners to become friends. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of the charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him. By his stripes we were healed." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection and had taken place in the city, and he had murdered people. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, What evil has he done? I found no grounds for sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and have him released. But they kept urgently demanding with the loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave this verdict that their demands should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. You know who Barabbas is? I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. Jesus took the rap for us so that we would be the children of God and that we would be with him in heaven. You're Barabbas. I'm Barabbas. The word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man called Simon of Cyrene. Mark tells us he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. What does that mean? The one that they seized to carry the cross for Jesus became a convert, and the people in Rome knew his two kids, Alexander and Rufus. Pilate was not converted, but Simon of Cyrene was converted, who was coming into the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for Jesus. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Well, I tell you, we have a law that says we can kill children. Blessed are the wombs that never bore. We have a law that killed children. And you know, that law is completely evil. We need to repent. We need to go to the abortion mills. We need to pray out there and be the last voice for these women and children. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus. There were criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land. They say there was an eclipse. Until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, which means we have access into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly, this man was innocent. And in another place, this man was the Messiah. And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all this, his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had become with him had come with him from Galilee, followed. They saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. They can't do anything. It's the Sabbath. There's no working on the Sabbath. Chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb. It's always the women, you know. It's always the women. God bless the women. That's all I can say. It's always the women. They came to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, Why do you look for the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man would be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Oh, yes, Peter is amazed. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, The Son of Man will be handed over to sinners, and they will crucify him, and on the third day he will rise from the dead. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. They are walking away from Jerusalem because they believe Jesus is dead. They are walking away from the community. So it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed, mighty in word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him." This line is a very sad line. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. And as they came near the village which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist. You see, the death of Jesus is our salvation, and we proclaim his death and resurrection as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Shalom, peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do you doubt and doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. They were the crucified, glorified hands and feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. O Lord, open our minds to understand the Bible, the Word of God. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Messiah is to suffer and to rise on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, And see, I am sending upon you the Father's promise. So stay in the city until you have been clothed with the Holy Spirit, with power from on high. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceives of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Maranatha, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.